an awful good God. I want to ask, I got a couple about you, there ain't many about you here today, but we're going to work with what we have. I'm going to ask a couple about you to come up here and they will help me out with this message. Amen. Yeah, I'm jazz. Amen. And as they are acting, I'm going to be like a timekeeper. All right? So I'm gonna tell y'all what time it is. All right, so keep focused on them and keep focused on the time. Amen. And as you see them, amen, they're gonna be doing what a lot of Generation Next does. Amen. They're gonna be texting. So just watch them for a while. They're gonna be texting back and forth. You know, you probably seen them do this before. That's what they do. Amen. So, and I'll be the timekeeper. Now you see him getting into the word. That's good. All right, amen. You notice the discrepancy in time, amen. As we looked at that, listen. I want to talk this morning from the text that we read in 2 Timothy, especially verses 16 to 17. And I want to add, I think there's a question that God wants to ask us through the text. Amen. I think God wants to ask us, did you get my text? I think that's what God wants to ask us this morning. Did you get my text? You got a lot of other people's texts. But my question for you this morning is, did you get my text? Because you do know text means something that's printed words. Amen. Especially as in writing. And that's what the Generation Next really is to. I know sometimes when I go to pick up Gabrielle at school, at least 90 to 95% of the young people that are waiting around are text. Amen. Amen. I started to bring you, but I didn't want to embarrass a woman too much. Video of a woman, I think it was on YouTube, I saw one, and she was texting on her phone, and as she was texting and walking down the sidewalk, you know how when they have a truck, you know, big things come up. Mm-hmm. walking down the sidewalk, and all of a sudden the big doors were up, and she didn't see it. And she tripped and fell in that hole. Because she wasn't paying any attention. She was texting. Amen. So it's an important part of what happens today. Okay. So, but God is saying, did you get my text? All right. Did you get the one that I sent?
Yes,
sir. You know the one that he sent.
Oh, yeah.
God's text.
Come on.
It can be on your device, but is it God's text? Send of God.
Yeah.
But, Pastor, I got a question to ask you about this Bible. I've been wondering why. If you say the Bible is God's word, but wait a minute. When I look through the scripture, in different parts of the Bible, I see other names.
Come on.
I see names like Jeremiah, Isaiah, or Micah. I see names like Timothy, or Paul. Sometimes, this is a Paul's letter to this person, and John, and Matthew, and I know Moses wrote some of them. If all these other people wrote the Bible, why do we say it's God's word when all these other names are involved? My answer, because that is a really good question that y'all asked. My answer to you is because God is the sender. Amen. You know you got different kinds. You don't have just have one kind of cell phone. Amen. You got Apple. Amen. You got Samsung. You got LG. You got Sony. You got Moto, which is Motorola, and you got one called Huawei. So you got, and there's some other kind I'm probably leaving out, but you got all kind of cell phone. But the cell phone is just an instrument that the message is sent through. Why are you saying that to me, that Pastor? Because Jeremiah and Matthew and Mark and Paul and Moses and all the ones that I read, all the heads, they are just instruments. But when you come to the Word of God, God is the sender. That's why this is His text. Amen. When you read John, it's God's text, it's God's Word for you. But John is the instrument, just like Apple is the instrument. Apple didn't write it. Apple is just who you got it through. Samsung didn't write it. Samsung is just who you got it. So the Bible, this text of scripture is the Word of God. And God wants to ask you, did you get my text? Because this is what it is. It's profitable. In other words, you can profit. You know, profit means you invested in it,
right,
and you got more out of it than you invested in it.
Yeah.
If you invest in getting God's text, you'll always get more out of it than you put into it.
Yes, sir.
Now, if you don't put nothing into it, y'all don't understand what I'm saying. If you go down and you invest, say you invested in it, a CD, and you put in $100, you know, depending on what your percentage is, you know, you're not going to make a lot, but you'll make a couple dollars, $100, spend $1,000, you'll make $20. But now, if you put in zero, you ain't going to make nothing. So, amen, but thank my God, well, you'll always get way more out. Amen, because when you put in $100, you get $102, you get more out of it than you put in. When you put 1,000 years out, 20 years, they get more out of it than you put in. Amen. But God somewhere that's even more profitable than that. What? Because he said, this is what you get out of my word. This is what you get out of my word. He says, it's proper because you get good teaching. Amen. It'll correct you when you're wrong. Amen. It'll show you how to get back right. And if you keep following it, it'll instruct you in how to stay right.
Amen.
Then it says that the man of God, our woman of God, may be perfect. You'll be mature. You'll know some things. Third funds unto all good works. In other words, if you will invest in getting God's text, you'll have a good life. You'll have a great life if you can get God's text. I say, let me say that again. Because that's what verse 17 is really saying. You will have a great life if you get my text. If you get my text, you'll be ready for a great life. You have everything you need for a great life. If you just get my text. You know the great thing about God's text? Is God's text will give you answers before you ask.
Yeah.
Before you if you get God's text, you will have answers before you ask. Gabrielle was in the basketball season was in. You know, they practiced and played a couple places over at the high school, middle school. So, and I was for me to pick up, I have to know if she's at high school or middle school, or if I want to go to the game, I can go there. Are they playing at the high school or playing at the middle school? And I want you to be a bobblehead. You always go to the high school. But freshmen, you know, you get a choice because they have to make room for the bobblehead to play at the high school all the time. So when she wants me to pick up, she have to. A couple times I had to call and say, where are y'all at? Are y'all at Minas? Are you at the middle school or are y'all at the high school? But after a while, I didn't have to do that because she would answer before I asked. And sometimes in your life, you wonder, God, what must I do? And God is saying, don't you know I've already answered that question before you asked, now did you get mine? Because I've already answered the question. Even before you now, there's different ways to get his text than like regular text. You get it. You say, yes, I got your text. That means, a lot of times that means you see. Then you see, oh, yeah, I got your text. That only means you see. You observe. You see. That's the first way we get God's text, is we see it. And we observe, because observe means to see. But that don't mean you got God's text. Because you can see a thing and not understand a thing. Sometimes you can look at it. Because sometimes people have texted me and I see the text. But I don't understand the text. So when you really get the text, not only do you observe, but second, you have to interpret. Not only do you see it, but you know, you need to know what it means. Because you know, sometimes text is confusing to me because the person texting you don't use words. They use abbreviations. So, you know, friend, and if you're not using those abbreviations, you can get all confused.
Come on.
And I tell them, you know, somebody asked me something, I text them back, and then they send me something to say, Kate. What do you mean by that, man? The whole word I can't understand. they said something. They said a whole lot. Then they put that LOL. Who is going to roll? Maybe they misspelled it. Maybe they were trying to spell. So even though I observed it and I got the text one way, but I did not understand it. I had not interpreted the text right. Or I wish I had a witness in it. Because you got, not only do you have to observe it, but you got to interpret the text.
Right.
And sometimes you need help to interpret the text. You need to go to somebody with more experience in text than you. Oh, I wish I had a witness in here somewhere. If you really want to understand the text, you got to go to somebody with more experience in
text.
So I go to one generation next people. And say, hey, what does this mean? And they say, that means such and such and such. That means, oh my God. That means laugh out loud. Whatever it means. Because there's a lot of those. And then he's, oh, so that's what they're saying. Because I had it all wrong. So sometimes, just like that, in the Word of God, God sends you people with more experience in his text. To explain it to you. That's why you have Sunday school teachers and Bible teachers and ministers and pastors, because you need sometimes somebody with more experience who knew biblical language to explain it to you.
Yes, sir.
When you come across a word like propitiation,
amen,
or sanctification,
yeah,
or justify,
right?
Because those are not words you use every day. Or even inspiration. Where inspiration, we just read there, means to be, come from Greek theo, which means God, nustos, which means breathe. It starts with a P, but it's like pneumonia. Pneumonia starts with a P, but you don't pronounce the P. So theonustos means God breathe.
Yeah.
It's God breathes into his word. That's like he breathed into Adam, and he became a living soul. He breathed in his word, and the word becomes alive. He breathed out his word. It's God breathing. All scripture is God breathing. We need help sometimes. Amen. Interpreting. Getting it right. That's why I tell you all the time, if you want to get it right, read the context. Read. I was talking about this read the context one day, and I wasn't really, you know, I y'all know how I explained it. I was talking about that read the context one day, and that the context, you know, I always tell you that stuff around.
Right.
And I was reading, I was sharing one day, and then I asked that question. And, you know, I hadn't really thought about that. But John said, con means with. Oh, come in with that. So read the stuff with the text. So the stuff with it is same thing I found, the stuff around it. Because if you take the text out of the context, you leave a comma. You can be fooled, tripped up, taking advantage of it, end up the wrong way. But he says here, if you get the text, when you really get it, not only can you see the text, but you understand the text. Sometimes you got to use a Bible dictionary. Get your Bible dictionary. Don't just have Webster. Get your Bible dictionary, because it's a Bible word you're trying to understand. You're not trying to understand it from a secular point of view, but you're trying to understand it from a biblical point of view. And when you're trying to understand, you need a Bible dictionary, because Webster's definition of love is not going to be the same as the Bible's definition of love when love is agape. Because the Bible dictionary will give you about three or four definitions. Agape, which is God's kind of love, an unconditional love that God gives you, love that sacrifices. That's God's kind of love. Then it tells you another kind of love. goes to the family kind of. So all those and different kinds of love in the Bible, because the Bible was not written in what's English. Most times, you know, we don't say, I don't really know the Bible, but that King James. I don't read the other Bible. Like King James, who was an alcoholic, so. But King James didn't write King James, y'all. King James was the king. And he had other people who knew a little bit about the Bible, translated. And the same thing happened with most of the other translations. You go find a group of people who are scholars in the Bible, and you have them to translate it to make it easier for people today to read. Did you know when the Bible was first written, it didn't have verses or chapters? It was just a scroll. The verses and chapters came along later and made us easy to find things. This thing this morning, I wanted to get that scripture. Well, how can I tell you where I'm at? I can read it to you, but I can tell you how to find it for yourself. But thankfully, they put it in chapters and verses where you can find any portion of the scripture. And then he said, hey, when you get it, hey, my text is not only do you observe it, not only do you interpret it and find out what it means, but there's one more step. And that is, once you find out what it means, you do what it says. So, observing it when you get it. Interpretation when you really get it. And then application is when you really
Amen.
Get it. Because when you really get it, you do what it says. This is what usually happens. And it says, you do what it says, you agree like. So what happened, Julie, God gave us the answer, but we didn't get the text. And we do it. We make a decision. Or we involve ourselves in a practice. Or we have a certain lifestyle. And the lifestyle leads us not to have a great life, but to have a messed up life. And especially if you're a believer, God is saying, when he looked at your life messed up and he know he already gave you an answer to have a great life, he said, did you get mine? Because if you got my text, if you really got it, if you really, really got it, your life wouldn't be in the shape it's in. Well, I wish I had a word in here.
Yes, sir.
You got to really get his text. Amen. Amen. He will put you in a place where, because sometimes this, the stuff we get into, it's because we didn't really. You didn't really get his text. You saw it. You looked at it when the pastor was reading something. You looked at it on Sunday or on the screen. You looked at it on your device. But then you understand it, and sometimes when the teacher or the person that's the presenter even helps you to understand it. If you go home and you don't apply, you didn't really, really get his text. God wants you to really, really get his text. In order to get his text, you got to spend time in his text.
Yes, sir.
So now we can spend hours, 2 hours,
right,
texting. Mm-hmm. People who have limitations like us.
Yeah.
People have limited knowledge, limited power, limited understanding. If we can put and invest time in texting those, and then when it comes to texting God, get into God text, we give them in. We mean to do better. We mean to do better than get into it. I have to have a prayer time. So you read the little verse. And then you kind of think about it in your mind. In your mind. And sometimes even after you start thinking about it in your mind will go back. You can't get God's text, because now your mind has got to wonder. clothes ready for tomorrow. I wonder if he really likes me.
Wow.
I wonder if I got enough money for them shoes. So even when you get into the text, you don't get the text. Try to get the text. And let me share one more thing. A lot of times what people do when they're in the Bible study, when they study the Bible, they'll just say, Lord, show me and open the page. Wherever page open, they'll go right there. That's not a good way to study the Bible. When you open to that page, we're talking about Judas hanging himself. You might not need to open it if you're kind of depressed already. Judas. Yeah, that's my verse. No! That's not how you study the Bible. You said it book by book. Yeah. Book by book. You subject. Sometimes you get a book that subject. If you want to study about money, then you can go back there. You get some quarterly. Go to all those scriptures that talk about money. Or you can go by subject, or you can go by book. Or sometimes you go by character. You want to study all about Daniel, all about David, all about Abraham. Then you read all about that person. Okay? But you gotta have some system. Don't get that over. And say, Lord, speak to me. That's not the way Bible study works. Y'all got me so far?
All right.
All right, let me get back to what I'm trying to say. When you, and this is a good thing. Once you get God's words, give you certain advantage. This is how you can profit from it. Once you get God's word, you're able to vet, V-E-T. You're able to vet voices. Because there's a whole lot of voices.
Amen.
That you hear. Right. Every program, every TV program you look at, that's a voice. Every song of music you listen to is a voice. All your friends have voices. If you're in school, your instructors have a voice. But you got to vet VET the voice. What do you mean by VET? That vetting like something. No, I'm not talking about the vet like works on dogs. No, not the animal doctor. That's not what kind of vet I'm talking about. And I'm not talking about the veteran like a veteran that's been in a war. A soldier that's been in a war. But I'm talking about vet. That means you check a person. You check it out.
Yeah.
Like sometimes when a person is an immigrant that comes from a country that maybe, as we maybe, they vet that person to make sure he's not the enemy. To make sure he's not a terrorist. They do their best to check his background and his family and what he's been doing lately. To make sure, amen, if he comes into our country, he comes in and he's safe as much as you can figure it out. So what I'm saying, when you know God's word, you can vet the voices you listen to. I mean, right after I came to the Lord, got saved, I was about 17, somewhere in there, and I was in high school, and I was in my African-American history class. I was African-American history class, and they brought some people in from the Nation of Islam. And people, they started talking about, the Islamic faith and Muhammad and all the things that they believed in. And as I listened, and since I had, I said, as soon as I got saved, the night I got saved, I was already in the Bible. It was about 2 o'clock in the morning trying to see what the Bible said. So I hadn't been in the Bible a long time. I had been in Sunday school every day after I got saved. I started going to Sunday school, going to church. So I know a little bit about the Bible. So the little bit I know about, when I heard it, then I said, wait a minute, that don't sound like what the Bible says. You got to know God. You got to get the text. Because when you get the text, you can tell when you hear another voice if that voice is talking with God. Or... what they tell you, they show you real money. Mm-hmm. And after you've been working with real money so long, you can say, oh, no, this ain't real. I'm saying, after you've been in the Word of God, there's some things you hear, oh, no, that ain't God. That ain't God's way. That ain't the way God wants us to go. But I've been with God something. I heard God. I know God's voice. My sheep hear. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. They ain't going to follow nobody else because they know my voice. Other folk can call them, but they ain't going to call them. They ain't going to respond when other folk call them.
That's
yeah.
Sometimes when I was in college, sometimes teachers said things. I said, oh, no, that ain't what the book says. That ain't what the book says. Now, I want to tell you, when you're in college and the teacher or the instructor or the professor says it, and it ain't what the book says, don't think because he got a few letters behind his name.
Amen.
Oh, I had a witness. Don't you be intimidated because he got a few letters behind his name. And don't you stop listening to him. Because you need to know what he says to do good on the test.
Amen.
I wish I had a witness. It don't have to be true. You don't even have to believe. But you do need to know it to pass the test. You do need to know it, amen, to do good on the test. But you ought to know better than you to do good in life.
Amen.
Hey, yeah. Listen to them, take notes. When that test comes, you be ready. Yeah, you can talk all about the evolutionary process. But that don't mean you believe it. Because the book already told you, in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. And God is the center. And the professor, even though he got all that letter behind his name, he wasn't there. God was there. He wasn't there. He's talking about, he speculated based upon inconclusive evidence. But God said, wait a minute, I'm telling you what would happen when I was there. Because I don't want it to be.
Yeah. Amen.
So, listen to my text. So, the same way you ask. You can learn things, but sometimes you'll be listening. Now, if you don't have the Word of God, you go in, you see all the DDs, PhD, all the other letters they have behind their name, you get intimidated. Well, maybe I'm not the person. Maybe I don't believe what they say because they got so much education. But who am I for when he has an education? Well, I wish I had a witness. Amen. And who am I for with a lot of education? And a lot of letters behind their name in prison.
Amen.
And a whole lot of people, amen, a whole lot of letters behind their name. Amen. Marriage is a tour.
Yeah.
A whole lot of people, a whole lot of letters behind their name. I'm not good parents.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You can money. A whole lot of folks got money. They got money, they got a lot of dollars, but they ain't got much sense. Amen. So don't be intimidated by all that. Think about God has already answered before you ask.
Yes, sir. That's good.
He said two. It's in his early days. About two, cap two, last four, ten. He said in his early, not late Genesis, but early Genesis, that two shall become what?
One.
Not three, not four. Amen. But when you get to three or four, you got a mess. You got an R. Kelly over here.
Brains.
Do you know how to write checks? Open checks. somebody that's going to help you build, because, hey, I want to build something.
Amen.
And when you find the right partner, they'll help you. Oh, I wish I had a witness in here somewhere. I'm not talking about what I think, I'm talking about what I know. Because I got a partner to help me build something. I don't get where I am today, amen, without her, she helped me. You know, if we built the church after. We got the house we got after I got. I'm a better person because of our ministry and where it is today. Because she helped me build something. She had connections. She don't hardly work with women. She got I got IQ, but she got EQ. She don't eat, she got emotional intelligence. She is the yin to my name. Her strength make up our weaknesses. My strength make up her weaknesses. Together, we're able to build something. Together, we can make a Gabrielle was great. Together, we have to pray together. I could not be where I am now. Without her. Get somebody here to build something. Don't get nobody for care of it. Don't get somebody have you tear down everything and then with everything tore up, they walk off and leave.
Yes, sir.
Right. Come on.
Yes.
Amen.
Y'all get me?
Yeah.
So when you go on a date, what you turn to get?
Yeah.
And if you go that 1+1 stuff, you want your daddy and daddy all fuzzy. And what you thought you knew about them, what you. You got to see them in all the different scenarios.
Yeah, it's true.
Because the first part of the day, you always put the best foot forward.
Yeah.
But you stay around, don't worry about when they, how they treat you. Look at how they treat other people. Because that's how they're going to treat you after a while.
Yeah.
If they're good to you now, but they treat a waitress bad.
Yeah, they don't need you.
That's the way they're going to treat you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Oh, I would say y'all.
Yes, sir.
I'm just trying to help you. I'm trying to help you.
Yes, sir.
I'm trying to help you. But if you got the devil, if you got what God says early in the Bible, that's all you need. It's not what you feel, because you don't feel. I feel like he's the one. I feel like we're in love. Oh, no, you can't feel like you're in love. You, what, y'all start paying bills together, man. Hey, man, before you start talking about being in love, or you go through some struggles together, or hardship, or conflict, then if you stay there, amen, you want to stay there, then you may be in love. Anybody can be in love and everything cushy.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm on bachelor and bachelorette when they're out on the island and making a trip and living in paradise. Oh, yes, it's easy to love somebody when you're living in paradise.
Yeah.
Well, what about when they don't have a job?
Yeah.
It's hard to pay bills. You got to strap this thing, a little food in the icebox. Amen. And then the car has mechanical problems. Are you laid off for a while? Can you still love them then?
Yeah.
You even love paradise, but can you love when problems
come?
Oh, I forgot it. Filter your feelings. Because the heart is deceitful. Above all things. Turn to Hebrews 4:12. God texted me. Texted us in Hebrews, some of Hebrews 4:12. Can't get changed. That's why you need to fill your heart. I gotta close this thing. I think I've been preaching. Hebrews 4:12. But the word of God, that's God's text is quick and powerful. God's text is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing of the soul and spirit and the joints of the marrow. And then the last part. And a discerner, let you see and understand, a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. You need him to filter your heart and make sure what you're feeling is okay with him. Because if what you're feeling ain't okay with him, don't go by your feelings and go by the text. There's an old movie, most of y'all probably didn't see it. It's called Shallow Hal. Shallow Hal. And it's Shallow Hal. What did Shallow Hal? Shallow Hal, you know, he's always, he was kind of, what's the word? He was kind of, shallow. And so when he saw a woman, he saw them with what's on the outside, not what's on the inside. But Shallow Hal had an accident, bumped his head, I think, if I remember correct. And then he started seeing things, I think God was in the same. And then he started seeing things different. Because in the moment what you would see, Shallow Hal, he would see a woman and she'd be beautiful. Amen. But then his eyesight was different than others. Because then the camera would show
what she really looked like.
And you know, I always say all women are beautiful. But she was at the lower end of the spectrum. And so he said, because what he would see, the thing that he did, the accident that he had, caused him to see what was on the inside rather than what was on the outside.
All right.
And then some women come home, some women that we would say on the spectrum of physical beauty will come by, it's like at the upper level, and Shallow Hal was in, they'd be tore up from the floor. You know, and that's what happens when you get the text. You see things differently.
Amen.
Oh, I wish I had a witness in here.
Amen.
You'll see it differently.
That one.
And you don't see things like you used to see it. Amen. Because I know, but God said that sometimes when we get in messed up relationships with people we shouldn't have been with them. He said, did you get the text? Be not unequally yoked. You need to give somebody head the same way that you did.
Amen.
They hit the same way you did. Don't spend no time because they will slow you down. You find you're going in two different directions. Then if you have children, the children don't know what, do I go in mama's direction or do I go in dad's direction? Yes, you're fine. But more to it than being fine. Yes, he was handsome. Had a six pack. Now he spends most of the time with the other six pack. Oh, you with me? So feelings, it filters the feeling. That's what we're talking about in Hebrew. And then you remember, once you got the better voice, I'm going to get you two. You remember when in Matthew 4, when Jesus came out, he had fasted 40 days, but then he came out of the wilderness, and then the devil, the tempter, the enemy came and said, won't you command these stones to be
bread?
That's the voice he heard. That's the voice he had. But I like what Jesus said. He said, wait a minute, I got a text. But before I can come back and answer what you're telling me. You talking about commanding song you make? Oh, I can't, because I got a text.
Right.
In the text says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth. Oh, I wish I had a will. You got to have a text when you get in some situation.
Yes, sir. That's it.
Now you said, did you get the text? Some folk in prison today. And God is saying, because they were believers. And they made grand mistakes. God said, didn't you get it?
Yeah.
Now, unbelievers, I can understand unbelievers. Because an unbeliever can't always get the text. What do you mean, Pastor? One day I called Morgan here to Metropolitan Community Center in Dallas. And I'll tell him, Margaret, I need to know what office I had in your office. Can you tell me what office I'm going? He said, well, I'm not in your office right now. She wanted to call another lady to this office. So I'll text you this back. And I said, okay, I'll wait for the text. Because I really had other things to do, and I'll wait for the text. Then I thought, oh, no. I didn't get a text, y'all. Y'all know why I didn't get a text? Because I called on a landline. I called on a house phone. I didn't call on a cell phone. So she takes the number I called on. She takes the landline. And the landline can't get texts.
Amen.
So sometimes that's why unbelievers can't get what God is saying. Because you're on a cell phone and they don't know. They don't know what they've been having, what they've been using before the cell phone came. So you said, oh, I got a cell phone now. And you're trying to text somebody that ain't got what you got.
Amen.
And then sometimes they can't understand why you do the things you do. Why are you waiting? Or they still on the landline.
Yeah.
They can't get the message that you got.
That's it.
Yeah.
They still on the landline. You got to get off the landline and get the right kind of phone. If you get saved, amen, when you accept Christ as Savior, believe in what he did, he saved you. He changed that life. Amen. He took the landline out, so you don't need that landline no more. You need the kind of equipment, the kind of instrument that I can hit you on. So you need to get, amen. You need to get something that detects.
That's right.
Okay. Gives you his word.
Definitely.
Gives his word. Gives his word. Go by his word. Did you get? In closing, if you got the sticks, the last thing I want to say, if you really, really got the sticks, you know how much you love.
Because
in that text, it tells me on Friday, on an old rugged cross,
yes, sir.
Thank you,
he gave his life as a sacrifice
for
my sin. He died for me and paid the price and for my sin. Well, the text says in Romans 5 and 8, for God commanded his love for us, but why would he yet sin? Christ died for us.
Yeah.
I got the text.
Yeah.
I got the text.
Thank you, Father.
Amen. But if you believe in your heart
that
God raised him from the dead, he did say, he did what he not did, and he wrote that to him. He gave his life on Friday, but he rose Sunday morning. You believe it. And you with it, confess the Lord, agree with the universe that he is God. He Lord and Lord, the King of Kings. If you really do that, he can save you right now. Loves you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, who shall believe in him shall not perish, that's in the text, but have everlasting life. Be a man being Christ. He's a new creature.
Yes, sir.
All things. The past and new things have come. That's in the text.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. It's in the text. So sometimes when sin tries to read it out, he says, I'm saying, I'm a wreck. I got a text. I'm not your slave no more.
Amen.
Amen. I'm dead to sin. I don't even respond to you anymore. You dead to me.
Yeah.
Tell sin sometimes, even you dead to me.
Amen.
I'm alive in Christ.
Yeah.
I'm in him now. Did you get my text? If you got position come, if you got my text, your life is better now. If all the people I saw, I put them to the high school, or if they had God's text,
it would
be a different school.
Yes.
What would they have with us in here? For all the young people and older people in this, if they ever got God's text, they'd be different people in the business. It's that. He'll answer you before you ask. Whatever question you may have about life, there's a text where you can get an answer. Just for you. Because he's telling you, this is for you this morning. If you'll come give me your life, I'll change and transform your whole life. If you're willing to try. Won't you let this morning be your morning? Won't you let this time be your time? He's a mighty good Savior. Thank you, Lord, for what you